Comes to a stretch. And the pitch right down the pipe. Swung on and missed. That's strike two, and it's 2-2 to Jeter Dawson. Top of the order is up next. Brake, right fielder. The 2-2 count to Jeter Dawson. That is in the dirt. Down and away. And that'll bring the count to full 3-2. 3-2 count, one out. Runner on first base, Jeter Dawson up. The number 9 hitter for the Waller Bulldogs. They trail your Longhorns 3-0 here in the top of the second. That pitch is down low, taken four, ball four. And that will send Dawson to first and will send Thorndale over to second.
All right. Technical difficulties worked out. Been here. I appreciate finding that out, you know, instead of people just not tuning in or tuning in and thinking we're not doing the game. We got a note that knew that we were on the air but couldn't hear anything. So worked some bugs out and we're back. Pitch on the way to the leadoff hitter. That one stays just a bit up to Brady Wendt.
No, that was a strike, Tom. At this point, I'm going to say that Caleb O'Neill squeezed a little bit. I don't mean to be unfair to the Blues. That's a strike.
1-0 pitch. O'Neill off. Top of the second opened with Brock Thorndale. And a hard hit ball to Zach Moreland at first base, who scored that one a hit. Then a strikeout to Brian Chabot. And a walk to Jeter Dawson. Now the leadoff hitter and is at 1-0. And yeah. Grizz is back out on the mound like he was in the first inning.
And this is more than anything, this is an opportunity to get a couple words into the home plate of what's happening here. Back to the dugout. That was a real walk, and then the first pitch to the next batter was a strike. That was that walk to the previous plate umpire. Take his mask, look into the Longhorn dugout, no doubt saying something to Coach Kubza. So they're having a few words just outside the third base line. It's not heated. No one's going to get tossed. But this is something that a manager just has to kind of do every once in a while to protect his players and to get his point across. Let's see, right? Sometimes it might work in your favor. You start to get a few close calls. It may go the opposite direction. You may not get anything close after that. So we'll see which way it goes.
The old Billy Martin thing, I'm not arguing about this one. I'm arguing for later.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly. The key for O'Neill is he's got two runners on and only one out, and he has got to find a way to – once again, try and wiggle off the hook here.
All right, check second base. Now comes to the plate, swung on and miss. Evens the count to Brady Wendt.
And when they swing and miss, it removes all doubt. So, you know, a swinging strike, you don't have to worry.
Each team with a single. Brock Thorndale got the Bulldogs here in the bottom of second. The Longhorns got theirs. The first, that one skips in. And both runners will move up. Finishing that thought in the bottom of the covered with a two RBI single. And the Longhorns scored on an error as well and lead 3-0.
Once again, infield in. Coach Kubza indicating he is not willing to give up a run in exchange for an out early in this game.
2-1 pitch to Wendt.
Squirts away.
Low, and yeah, squirts just beyond the reach of Jack Braswell.
Not far enough to advance the runners. So 3-1, again, first base is open, so a walk is not the end of the world, but you have got to start getting into that strike zone. And you're at a portion of the lineup here where you're in the kind of the meat of the Bulldog order. You can get yourself in a lot of trouble if you load up these bases and somebody puts one in the gap.
We had a lot of drama in the top of the first, but O'Neill got out of that. Now drama here in the top of the second, swung on and missed. Loads the count up to Brady Wendt.
Well, this is a big hitter. You would love to see him find a way to get a strikeout or a pop-up here and get to two outs with first base remaining open.
Took a little bit off of that one, and Wendt was a little bit out in front. Full count pitch to the plate.
Good pitch.
Swung on and missed and got him.
Good pitch. You know, one thing, when you're struggling with control, it tends to put hitters in a little bit of a passive mode. And then when they do get a strike and they've got a swing at it, they're a little bit out of their rhythm. So in a weird way, it can actually work in your favor when you've been wild, because then if you do start to find the strike zone, it's almost like the hitters have forgotten how to swing.
Number two hitter, Davis Rivers, at the plate. He walked and was stranded at second base in the first inning.
That second out is a big one, but you've got to get that third out. You've got to get out of this inning.
Pitch by O'Neill. That's breaking ball called strike.
And, again, I really think he's got better command of the breaking ball early in this game than he does of his fastball. And as the guy calling pitches, you hate to call, you know, a ton of breaking balls. But, you know, when he's struggling to spot his fastball, you may have no other choice. O'Neill very deliberate between pitches, kind of the opposite of the way Edwards was in his first inning.
Two on, two out, 0-1 pitch to the plate. That is low, 1-1.
Once again, Jack Braswell with the block, and that got a pretty good piece of Braswell. And so he's going to take a little walk. Home plate umpire will take a little walk, buy him some time. And he's gotten beat up back there a little bit. You know, Tom, that's one of those where you start to wish your pitcher would, if he's going to miss, at least miss up in the zone and not constantly bury them, because those hurt.
I'm wondering why we didn't.
So you want to play catcher, right? It is not a fun position. By the middle, forget the end of a season, by the middle of a season, folks, catchers are so beat up from that behind the plate. So he seems to be okay. We're ready for action again.
I caught a little bit back in the day, and it's an interesting position. I mean, you're in every play. You could see everything. But every once in a while, you get a bite taken out of you like Braswell just did. That one is low, 2-1.
Again, you'd love to see Caleb O'Neill find a way to get out of this inning. It's a lot to ask, right? Two innings in a row to get all kinds of traffic on the bases and somehow get out of it. But that's exactly what Coach Cubs wants him to do here.
He has struck out 4. He's walked 4. There was a sack bunt in the top of the first. But no bulldog has come across the plate. This one hit out to center field.
Right at him.
Measured by Ryan Barton. And taken by Ryan. That ends the at-bat for Davis Rivers and Waller in the top of the second in the inning. No runs, one hit, no errors, and two men left on base at the end of 1.5. Longhorns lead 3-0. All right, back at George Ranch High School, Live radio is awesome until it's not. A little trouble then with our commercial generator. But we'll work that out in the interim. Coming to the plate for the Longhorns, top of the order in the bottom of the second, Ryan Barton, Grant Reynolds, and Blake Behealer.
And do we have a new pitcher out there, Tom?
We do.
I can't catch a number on him. So we'll see if he turns around here. I'll try and get a number. They have the maroon numbers on the black jerseys, not the easiest to read here. These old eyes aren't what they used to be.
You and I have gone through that. It looks like number
Looks like
10.
Maybe 10.
That's
10
Brock Thorndell.
No, it might be 12. I think it might be a 12.
All right. That would be Cade Kamert.
Yep, that's a 12.
Yeah.
So we got a 12 and a 12 because I believe Caleb O'Neill wears 12 for us as well. So, and you had a feeling after the way Brayden Edwards struggled in that first inning that he probably wasn't going to be sent back out for the second.
All right, Cambert's first pitch is hit out to center field. A couple steps back and to his right, Keller Rivers has it. One pitch, one out in the bottom of the second.
Yeah, got made good contact, just hit it right at the center fielder, and that's exactly how the top of the inning ended, Tom. I mean, that was a well-struck ball. It literally went straight to Ryan Barton. It had a little bit of a draw action on it, and he almost didn't even have to take a step. But that's one of those, and that's baseball. You know, if that ball's hit 15 feet in either direction, it's in the gap and scores two runs.
Grant Reynolds at the plate.
They'd sure like to see Grant Reynolds continue to heat up. Had a nice single in the first inning. Line drive to left field. Let's see if he can kind of build on that. Also, a lightning speed, and you know, if he sees that third baseman not paying attention, he certainly is one that can drop down a bunt for a hit.
Last year, it was fun watching Grant bunt. He was such a good bunter and held that bat correctly and did his job time after time. And now he's back in that two-hole. Nobody in front of him right now, but hopefully Greg Kubza will be using him in that manner this year if the leadoff hitter gets on.
Yeah, in that sense, he's a very good two-hitter because that's what you want in your two-hitter, a guy that can move runners over. And if you want to endear yourself to your head coach, be a good bunter. Nothing makes them happier than a well-executed bunt, and nothing pains them more than somebody who can't get a bunt down.
1-2 pitch to Reynolds. Hit down to short. Ryan Beatty has it on a couple hops over across the diamond. Blake Behealer up next. New pitcher on the mound, Cade Kamert. Got a fly ball out of Ryan Barton and a 6-3 putout. And now a swinging strike to Blake Behealer.
And what Cade Kamert's doing is just letting the Longhorns put it in play and letting his defense work for him. And that's exactly what you want to do as a pitcher. You don't have to have a ton of strikeouts. Throw strikes, let batters get themselves out.
0-1 pitch to Blake. That one is fouled on the left field line.
He hammered that. He just hammered it foul. He needed to stay back just a little more on that.
It's been a gray, overcast day at George Ranch and surrounding areas all day. Got a little more threatening in the bottom of the first. And then in the top of the second, even more so. And now as we work in the bottom of the second, looks like rain out beyond the left field wall.
Yeah, there's scattered storms kind of all over the area. We'll see if we can kind of dodge them.
1-2 pitch to Blake. Low and away, 2-2.
And, you know, Tom, I mentioned Blake's big brother, Reese Behealer. He got his first action for the Arizona State Sun Devils and singled the other day against Mississippi State, his first hit as a collegiate player. So nice landmark for Reese Behealer over there at ASU.
That's inside, ball three.
Blake tried to wear that one. It just missed him somehow. I mean, he stood his ground and was ready to take it and take first base, and somehow the ball missed him.
Speaking of ASU, our buddy on the football broadcast, Keenan Vaughn, is heading to ASU in the fall.
Good school, good weather.
That one fouled off. Blake waited as long as he could and just got a bit of that one.
And I hear there may even be a pretty girl or two out at ASU.
Yeah, that's what Keenan said.
I've heard that somewhere. I wouldn't know, but.
That's what he said. Full count pitch on the way. Pops this one up. It stays behind the plate and falls beyond the reach of Brian Chabot.
Yeah, I just don't think he saw it.
No.
And again, this is that kind of gray sky where it's easy to lose a ball. And I think he thought it was fouled back and out of play, and it literally went straight up in the air. Almost time for the pitcher to come all the way over and get it, but. They give Blake Behealer new life. Let's see if he can take advantage.
Full count pitch again.
Oh, good pitch.
Swung on and missed. Yeah, good breaking ball. And Behealer swung through that one in the inning. No runs, no hits, no errors. Nobody left. At the end of two, Longhorns still lead 3-0. And, you know, folks, until we get the commercial thing worked out, we'll just let you listen to some sounds from around the field here, and then we'll be in when the top of the third takes place. Caleb O'Neill back out on the mound to start his third inning of work. Throw down by Braswell. O'Neill will face Ryan Beatty, Ashton Sweet, and Clayton Freshcorn in the top of the third.
Do you have a pitch count on Caleb?
I'm
just curious.
Do.
The only reason I ask is, you know, he's gone deep into the account and had a lot of traffic on the bases those first two innings, so interested to see what his pitch count is at. I have a feeling no matter what happens, this may be his last inning.
He's at, that was pitch number 49 as leads things off in the top of the third.
Okay, so 48 pitches coming in this inning. He's averaging about 24 pitches per inning. It's not terrible. It's, you know, it's a little higher than you'd like, but he certainly has the ability probably to go four if he can have a good inning here, a solid inning.
That one skips in 1-1. As we talked about in the top of the second, he's got four walks and four strikeouts, so he has thrown a lot of pitches.
Yeah.
But when you look at the score, he hasn't given up any runs and been able to bail himself out of two straight innings. This one's straight back.
And when you see a line score like that, four walks, four strikeouts, it kind of tells you he's got good stuff, but he's having trouble with his control. I guarantee you any coach would tell you they would much rather see zero walks and zero strikeouts. Because even though you haven't struck out anybody with dominating stuff, if you haven't walked anyone, they'll take their chances.
A 1-2 pitch by O'Neill. He spiked. One just about 59 feet.
Yeah, that was probably about 56. He spiked that one to where it bounced over Braswell's head. That was not close. If you're going to miss big, and he did. And when you're going to miss that big, do it with nobody on base, and he did that as well.
I was trying to be nice at 59 feet. Yeah. You just went for it at 56.
I got to be honest. I got to be honest to the people out there.
2-2 pitch on the way. Stays up, full count.
A lot of full counts. And again, that it's tough, right? Yeah, that keeps you from going deep into a game no matter what happens. Even if you retire someone, if you do it after a full count, that means you had to throw at least six pitches to them.
Full count pitch to Beatty, and he walked him.
Yeah, it's just been a struggle out there for O'Neill today. I mean, you can tell he's just laboring a little bit. But, again, it's a tournament. You've got to get as many innings as you can out of your pitchers because you've got a lot of games to play over the next 3 days. And unless he really, really gets into trouble, I think this is his inning.
Longhorns will stay on the field for the 30 game. Cy comes in. That one over to first base. He's back. So they'll play the nightcap. And Munoz will be here. Jason has the play-by-play. I'll slide over and do the PA here at George Ranch. We'll be on the air about 6:20, 6:25 for that one. And what might go into the thinking for these two head coaches is these games are timed, so they know that that one skips in. They know that the games are only going to go 2 hours, so what happens, and it's not like the game may, you know, go on into extra innings or go on, and so maybe that goes into their thinking a little bit about using their pitchers.
Right. And you can already tell just from they're not going to be a seven-inning game. So you don't have to find pitching for seven innings. You probably have to find pitching for maybe five. We may only get four innings in, depending on how it goes.
First pitch was thrown at 4:06. That one skips in. 2-0 to Ashton Sweet. And so we're an hour five into this one.
Yeah, for an hour and five in, and we're just barely into the top of the third. That's not a great pace of play. And again, it's, you know, both starting pitchers have just struggled with their control. Now, the second pitcher that, you know, the Bulldogs brought in had a 1-2-3 inning and threw a ton of strikes. And so that certainly that's going to help the pace of play. So Braswell, and again, the message is very simple. Hey, got to throw strikes here. Got to throw.
And when you're this, you want to start throwing different things or spotting the ball to get it over the bit there to Wheat. And, you know, if Braswell is he's off the ground, they're too much outside, O'Neill might start to struggle and bring them up like that one. Jack has to jump out of his hands to grab that. It's 3-1. So he's struggling, but the scoreboard doesn't indicate that, and I think you're right, Jason. His last inning, or maybe things don't go well here in the top of the third. Finish the inning. He's going to hit a ton down the left field line, and it's a fair ball into the corner. Trey Akins gets in, and the runner has to stop at third. It's a double by Ashton Sweet.
And as crazy as it sounds, you can live with that as a coach, right? I mean, he threw a strike. He got into a 3-1 count, so he was sitting on a fastball. He got it, and he yanked it down the line. But run didn't score, so you third, and this is familiar territory, you know, at the beginning of this game for Caleb O'Neill. Second and third, nobody out. And now he's got to try and find a way to work himself out of trouble.
The infielder is also in a familiar position. They're on the lip of the infield, trying to snuff things out at the plate. That one gets away from Jack Braswell in the first run scores for Waller.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. And that's going to bring Coach Cubs out of the dugout again. He may, or actually that looks like Coach Rod coming out to talk to him. And I got to believe there's some activity going on in the Longhorn bullpen, and this is probably to buy that person a little bit of time. I Tom, unless something crazy happens, this may be Caleb O'Neill's last batter.
Okay, relatively short conversation, same thing, and maybe the message is, you know, you got to get the ball in. Get it in the field of play. That last one, as you pointed out, can't do a whole lot about that.
Yeah.
Threw it down the plate. Good
you can live with the double a lot yeah. more than you can live with the wild pitch. You know, a wild pitch that scores a run really hurts. You with a kid roping the double on the line. It's baseball. That's good.
Brings one right down Broadway, 1-1 to Clayton Freshcorn.
And it's just weird because it doesn't seem like a game in which the Longhorns are winning 3-1. I mean, there's just been so much traffic on the bases for the Bulldogs, and it's been such a struggle for O'Neill that you almost feel like they're behind in this game, and they're not, at least not yet. But it definitely has been a struggle.
Just a bit inside, 2-1 to Freshcorn. He's hitter number 5 in Rodney Lowe's lineup. Pitch on the way by O'Neill. That skips in. Braswell keeps it in front of him.
Yeah, I think this is going to be his last hitter either way. And the bullpens here at Longhorn Field are kind of hidden. You don't really know who's back there warming up, but you got to believe that they're going at it hot and heavy right now.
Three-one pitch by O'Neill. Yanked that one outside, and he walked Clayton Freshcorn. First and second, one run in, nobody out, top of the third. And nobody.
Nobody emerging from that dugout.
No, but you know what?
Not yet.
A couple are coming down from the bullpen, so maybe one more batter here. See what happens with O'Neill. But either way, we won't be seeing O'Neill in the fourth.
That's a huge lead. I'd love to see him throw over to first base here.
Breaking ball stays up.
He didn't get the strike call. I thought that was a strike. I thought it broke back over the plate. But unfortunately, when you're struggling this much with your control, you don't get those calls.
That was a 12-6 curveball that he threw and dropped in, didn't get the call.
Again, a huge lead at first.
Fake to third. Now he's got that runner, and he threw it into center field, did O'Neill. And a runner comes in from third.
Yeah. He did the step to third. The runner from first had broken to second wide, threw it into center field. Scenario there. So now tying run at second, still nobody out.
Seemed to be a little bit of a delay after he faked a third before he went to second, and the runner really had picked up some ground there. That one is outside, 2-0.
Yeah, he's really, really struggling right now. And Braswell going out to talk to him. But, again, at this point, I think you're just buying a little more time. And I say buying a little more time for the bullpen, but they've already come back to the dugout. They're ready to roll. This is most definitely, I think, going to be Caleb O'Neill's last hitter. And Longhorns, Tom, still clinging to a 3-2 lead. If they could get, a pop-up, a strikeout, a line drive double play, something to kind of change the complexion of the inning. Not to say they couldn't emerge from this half inning still with the lead, but it's an uphill climb at this point.
2-0 pitch to Keller Rivers, and he fouls that one off towards the Longhorn bullpen, 2-1. O'Neill checks second base, now comes to the plate, skips in. Braswell can't find that, and the runner will head down to third. And actually, it was right under his feet, but he couldn't locate it soon enough, and the runner takes third.
Yeah, just a lot of balls, a lot of wild pitches. It's just you hate to give up bases. You hate to give up free bases to a team.
O'Neill out of the stretch, 3-1 pitch, swung on and missed. Yet to get an out, he walked Beatty, a double by Ashton Sweet, and Beatty stopped at third. Then a wild pitch brought in the first one, then a walk to Clayton Freshcorn, and the overthrow at second base brought in the other run. This one is foul toward the Longhorn dugout, still 3-2. To Keller Rivers.
Yeah, and Rivers did him a little bit of a favor on that prior pitch that was down and away. That would have been ball four. He swung at it, though, and then another foul ball, still a 3-2 count.
Pitch on the way, stays up.
That's going to be it.
And here comes Coach Rott.
So we'll have a break in the action. We don't really, unless I'm mistaken, I don't think our commercials are working, right, Tom? So
they're not.
Gives us an opportunity to plug anything you've got going that to plug, Tom. Do you have any upcoming shows or upcoming events?
I do not.
You're
involved in that one. Is set to start at 6:30. We'll be back on the air 6:20, 6:25. Hopefully we'll iron out this commercial generator and get those things going.
I believe, is that Connor Hinton that's coming in to pitch?
It is.
So Connor Hinton, the big junior right-hander, will be the relief pitcher for the Horns. And he'll come in with a runner on first and a runner on. We still have a runner on third, right? Yeah, runner on first and third. With nobody out, clinging to a 3-2 lead and looking to just put out the fire here a little bit. Yeah, look, I give Caleb O'Neill credit. He battled out there, Tom. He did everything he could. It just sometimes you just can't quite find that zone. And he struggled more often than not to throw strikes, got deep into counts. And, it hurts a little inside every time you watch a pitcher get to a 3-2 count and then walk someone. I mean, just all that work for nothing. So we'll see if Connor Hinton can come in, throw strikes, and get a few outs here. Look, at this point, with the runners on the corners and nobody out, you almost have to concede that that runner from third is probably going to find some way to score during this inning. So at this point, you're looking to limit the damage. You know, perhaps you can get a double play, keep that runner at first. Keep him from getting into scoring position. Get yourself out of this inning and then get back in here and hit. But let's see what Hinton can do. Hinton's got good stuff, Tom. He's got a plus fastball. He's got a good hard breaking ball. I don't know that he really throws a changeup, but he's got definitely a plus fastball and a good hard breaking ball. When he struggles with his control. And we've seen enough of that today, Tom. Let's hope that he comes in and is dialed in.
All right. Settling into the right-hand hitter's batter's box, Brock Thorndale, owner of the first hit that Waller got off of Caleb O'Neill in the top of the second, batting in the top of the third, facing the new pitcher, Connor Hinton. Connor looking at first base, now comes to the plate. This one is popped up. Braswell has this one measured, but now Zach Moreland We'll put the squeeze on that. So one pitch by Hinton, and he gets an out.
Yeah, that's a big out, and that's a very efficient way of doing it, too. One pitch, one out. And you like to see the third baseman take charge like Moreland there and get that one, because that's a really, really tough play for a catcher with his back to the field of play trying to catch that.
That kind of situation helps Connor Hinton be relaxed. He looks at third, now spins and does not throw to first. And it also helps the D relax a little bit. They finally got an out here.
And now you see the middle infielders at double play depth. You know, hard ground ball right at someone, and you could potentially get out of this inning.
Hinton's first pitch swung on and missed by Brian Chabot, the catcher. He struck out in the second.
Yeah, one pitch out, and then he starts the next hitter with strike one. You like that he comes in throwing strikes, and you certainly hope that he can keep that up.
First and third, one out, two runs in, swung on and missed.
That ball's in the dirt, so runner took off from first. There was no way that Brazo was going to have a play there.
That's for sure.
Is he getting a new bat? He's asking for another bat. Almost looks like he might have thought that he broke his bat on that, which.
That would be something.
It would be something, especially on a swing and a miss.
Aluminum bat.
I guess it's like if you're bowling and you throw a gutter ball, you immediately just get a new bowling ball.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think we're seeing something similar here. But
stare at the ball for a little bit and then get a new one.
Let's hope this is your boy, the bat that he chose here. Bolt on it, so I think we're okay. Meanwhile, 0-2 count, but he's got his special bat, Tom, so I'm not going to lie, I'm a little worried.
Sign comes to the plate. Swung on his hat.
That bat did the same thing.
Down to first.
That bat broken, too. He should probably.
Now they got the runner trapped off of second, but he gets around Reynolds and gets back in place.
Well, he almost ran them right out of an inning. That would have been something. But a big strikeout there for Hinton, and he did it on three pitches. So now, all of a sudden, still 3-2. Two men in scoring position. You're not out of the woods yet, but you're one pitch away from getting out of this inning and perhaps escaping to the bottom of the third with the lead.
Third baseman Jeter Dawson walked in the second. Now comes to the plate. Hinton came pop up in foul territory and then got throw out by Braswell for out number two.
So Longhorn still clinging to a 3-2 lead here.
Nice pitch. Catches the outer half. 1-1.
Connor Hinton's done a great job in relief since he came in for Caleb O'Neill. He is looking to get one more out and get out of this inning. Longhorns would love to get out of here with no other damage done.
Again, checks thirds of the plate. To the second. Brady flags that one down. And the uprise in the top of the third. But in the inning, two runs, two hits. No error, and two men base at the end, half innings of play. Longhorns still lead 3-2.
And are you still doing the security? What company?
Alert 360.
I've been doing that a long time. Have you like it?
Yeah, not a long time.
Always have to have a company by the name of Baton, B-E-T-O-N, and they do underground construction for a long time. Yeah, fiber optic and into the plants, and they're building the infrastructure, the epoxy, and the infrastructure to keep it where it's OSHA, compliant, and that is fine. I don't know what all they do, but something like that.
Yeah, because we just got into construction ourselves with mobile surveillance units.
Oh, yeah?
For construction areas. That wouldn't really necessarily apply to him, but it's like when they're building. Uh-huh. And, like, for example, we do couple of, they're not like memorial homes, but a couple. So they're, you know, they're the units that they're for my campus.
Left-handed hitting Lane Walton at the in the bottom of the third. Popped up to the third baseman in fair territory in the first.
Yeah, he got jammed on a 3-2 pitch his first time up and just kind of fisted it out to third base. I'll be looking for something that he can drive here. That ball went back to the screen. Jack Braswell came out to find it from his on-deck position or in the hole position, and he couldn't find it. Now he's located it, and he gives it to the umpire. But, Tom, going back to that last half inning, just a masterful job there by Connor Hinton coming in and putting out that fire and keeping the Longhorns ahead 3-2. I had almost conceded that runner from third was probably going to score and was just trying to find a way that maybe they could keep it at 3-3, and he got a 1-2-3 situation and got out of there.
That pitch is high. 2-0 to Lane Walton. New pitcher is Cade Kammert. Got three up, three down in the second.
Yeah, 2-0 count here. Lane's going to be looking for something that he can drive. Be sitting on one.
Pitch on the way. That stays up and 3-0. Pitch on the way. In there for a strike, 3-1.
Still a good hitter's count here, 3-1 for Lane.
This one hit on the ground to the second baseman. 2-3 hops out there. And Freshcorn
just threw it wide.
Yeah.
That's the shortest throw on the diamond. That'll give you gray hair as a coach. When you can't make the throw from second to first, that shortens the lifespan of coaches everywhere.
Who was it, Steve Sachs, that with the yips for the Dodgers?
I mean, plenty of time set his feet, just got away from him. So let's see if the Longhorns can take advantage of that with a base runner on when he probably should not have been.
Braswell reached on an E6 on kind of an odd play that was called out and then overturned. That pushed across a run as well for the Longhorns in the first.
Yeah, that was a big play, that overturn of that call, because that also got Cody Ford up, and he promptly hit a two-run single to stretch the lead to 3-0 at the time.
1-0 pitch. Braswell fouls that one off, 1-1.
Yeah, he had a good pitch to hit there. He went after it, just fouled it off.
One pitch. Get out to...
Stay in the field of play, but well foul.
Yeah. Having trouble picking the ball up with the gray sky and the dirty window here.
Yeah, the window washers are at the press box are certainly on vacation this week, Tom.
They are working on it. We're sitting behind, though. So do not a moment, but...
Good things are coming, huh?
Yeah, okay. They sure are.
Okay, I'm going to take your word for it.
We got AC in the press box now. That one down to first base. First baseman knocked it off his glove, but was able to right himself and take care of Braswell.
Yeah, that was a line shot. First baseman did good just to stay in front of that one. His only play was at first, but they'll certainly take an out there as Braswell hit that one hard.
Cody Ford at the plate. Two-run single in the first, stranded at third base. First pitch by Klammert. That's a called strike.
Go, Cody.
Okay. 0-1 to Cody Ford. Ripped foul down the third base line, 0-2.
He scalded that ball, but it was about 2.5 feet foul down the third base line. So now he's in a little bit of a hole, 0-2 here. Let's see if he can battle his way back, get this back to an even count.
0-2 pitch. Get out to right field. Caught out there for the second out.
Hit that pretty hard. He just hit it right at the right fielder and got out there in such a hurry that Lane Walton didn't even have a chance to tag up from second and had any thoughts of third.
Our apologies to the Clammer family. Cade Clammer on the mound, not Clammer, as I've been saying. Clammer. And he starts off Trey Akins with a strike.
Yeah, Trey didn't love that call. That ball was a little inside, and it wasn't caught cleanly. And normally, if you don't catch a ball cleanly, you don't get rewarded with a strike call. The umpire went ahead and gave him the strike there. And Trey Akins not overly pleased with it.
Kammerer, in his second inning of work, he came in relief of Bladen Edwards. Pitch to the plate. That one stays up high. It's 1-1.
Yeah, you'd sure like to see Trey Akins get a little something going here, find a gap and hit a ball hard. He's still looking to kind of get it going early this season.
Kammerer checks second, now comes to the plate. That one is outside, 2-1. Lane Walton started the inning on the E4. Unassisted put out by the first baseman on Braswell. Cody Ford lines out to right field. And at the plate, Trey Akins, he looks at ball three.
All right, so a 3-1 count here for Trey. He's going to be looking for one pitch in one spot. And if he gets it, let's hope he doesn't miss it.
Pitch on the way. Popped up. Drifting out into left field. Left fielder Ashton Sweet comes over. And it's a squeeze on that one. That ends the Longhorns at bat in the bottom of the third in the inning. No runs, no hits, one error, and one man left on base. At the end of three, Longhorns still lead 3-2.
All of us love sports, but not all sports are created equal. College sports have big budgets, dedicated alumni networks, and corporate sponsorships. Professional sports have even deeper pockets. Millionaire owners, lucrative TV and radio deals, and merchandise sales. High school sports have you. Everyone agrees high school sports give us plenty of reasons to cheer.
All right, back at the ballpark, Connor Hinton working in his second inning of work and facing the top of the order goes 1-0 on Brady Wendt.
So second full inning of work for Connor Hinton, and just such a great job he did coming in and putting out the fire. Let's hope he can keep it going here in the top of the fourth, continue to throw a lot of strikes and let his defense work for him.
The 1-0 pitch by Hinton stays outside, 1-1. Check that 2-0. Pitch on the way, and same result, 3-0.
Yeah, and that's how baseball works, Tom, right? Sometimes you come in and put the fire out and throw nothing but strikes, and then you start the next inning with a four-pitch walk.
actually kept getting further and further outside as he delivered pitches to Brady Went. Now Davis Rivers, the DH, is up.
Yeah, I don't like the trend. He missed by a couple inches, then he missed by about 4 inches, then he missed by about 7 inches. So let's see if he can get back in that one again. Throw a ground ball here, you could potentially get yourself a double play.
And Hinton with a kind of an aggressive fake over to first base. He also works on the first base side of the pitcher's plate over to first base. That throw was close.
Ooh, that was close.
It was. Runner is safe, but a good effort there by Hinton.
And what Blake Behealer did is a very subtle thing the first baseman do, but they show them the ball. They show the umpire the ball as if to say, I know the tag beat him. I'm showing you that I still have possession of the ball. And it's a polite way of saying you may have missed that call, but I'm not going to tell you you missed that call so I don't get thrown out of the game.
All right, Hinton looks at first, throws over again, and that one not near as close.
He's certainly letting him know that he's mindful of him, though. I don't think you're going to see a humongous lead taken over there at first.
An umbrella comes out here at Longhorns Field. 1-0 pitch to the plate. Skips in, and yeah, did hit the batter. Davis Rivers, he'll head down to first. Ryan Beatty will head to the plate.
Connor Hinton's got to find his control here. He did great when he came in the third. He has struggled here so far. A four-pitch walk and then now a hit by pitch. And all of a sudden, first and second, nobody out.
Definitely a tale of two innings. Such great work to get out of a jam in the third. And now here in the fourth, trouble upon trouble.
Yeah, he's created his own jam here in the fourth. Let's see if he can find a way to work out of it.
Comes to the plate. Ball is bunted down the third baseline. Hinton off the mound and throws down, but he'll never get the speedy Ryan Beatty who bunts for a base hit.
Yeah, that you couldn't have walked out there and rolled the ball down the third baseline any better than that. That was a perfect bunt. And so all of a sudden, bases loaded, nobody out. And unfortunately, Tom, the Longhorns have been flirting with disaster all game long in the three prior innings. They're going to try for the fourth time to somehow wiggle off the hook here.
Ashton Sweet is 1-for-2. He doubled in the third, struck out in the first, came around to score in the third on a pass ball.
And I think we're approaching, about an hour, almost an hour and 40 minutes of game time. So there's the very real possibility, Tom, that this fourth inning may end up being the final inning of this game. So you can't afford, if you're the Longhorns, you certainly can't afford to dig yourself a hole here.
Hinton gets his sign, breaking ball, called strike.
Good pitch there.
Again, looking at third now, comes to the plate. That one kind of skips in 1-1. Glad you joined us this afternoon on GRHS iRadio. This is live coverage of the LCISD Varsity Baseball Tournament for another season. Longhorns lead 3-2. Breaking ball outside, 2-1.
Didn't miss by much. It's a good pitch. Just a little off the plate.
Waller won the first game over Katie Taylor, 10-7. And after this game, they'll be finished. The Longhorns will stay in the third base dugout and face Cy Ridge at 6:30. Jason will take over the play-by-play. Julian Munoz will be here doing the color commentary, and we'll be back on the air about 6:25 or so. Tomorrow night, another Longhorns game at 6:30. That'll be on, and that's a ball. Ball four.
Wow.
And that walks in a run.
Wow, two things there, Tom. I actually thought that was on the inside corner and was a strike, and I also think he might have went around. But nobody appealed it. Nobody said anything. So that's a walk and a forced in run, and it's a 3-3 ball game.
Clayton Freshcorn at the plate. No official at bats. He's walked twice. First pitch by Hinton. Called strike.
Yeah, this is a really dangerous situation for the Longhorns here. This is difficult to get sideways on them in a hurry. Out. Strikeout, pop-up, don't score that runner from third.
Next pitch to the plate. That one skips in 1-1. Longhorns scored three in the bottom of the first and led 3-0 until the third. And Waller got a couple. It's 3-2. Now we're tied with the bases loaded walk. Hinton's 1-1 pitch. Yeah, that's how he started Freshcorn off with that same pitch. Now it's 1-2. See if Hinton can kind of right himself and pitch out of this.
That was a good, big, sweeping, breaking ball that stayed on the outside corner.
1-2 pitch. Same pitch. This one hit down to Moreland. He'll come to the plate, and that's all we get. Fielder's choice for the batter, Freshcorn, and an out at the plate.
Yeah, and what I like that Braswell did there is he wheeled around to see if he could maybe throw it to first, double play. He wasn't going to get him. He elected not to throw it, which I like, because how many times do you see him rifle the ball into the right field corner and now, you know, two more runs score after that. Out, you know, go to the next and try and work yourself out of this inning.
Hinton's first pitch. There's that breaking ball. It settles in for a strike. Managed to get that in the zone. That sweet fresh corn, and now to Keller Rivers. 0-1 pitch. Foul down the left.
That ball was smoked, but it looked about 6 or 8 feet. Just a noisy strike, though, and now 0-2. And I'd like to see Connor Hinton kind of nibble here. You don't want to get too much of the plate, 0-2. Don't give him anything to hit. Make him chase something here.
Hinton's 0-2 pitch. Just a little nubber, and it clears the infield out to right. One run scores. Second one coming around. It scores. Ball gets away from Jack Braswell, but backed up by Hinton, and Waller leads.
I wish he hadn't gotten so much. I mean, it's if that ball that you can serve out to the outfield, and just a bat for that, because if the second baseman's playing normal depth, that's an easy flare pop out, but the infield was drawn in, and it just landed out there in no man's land.
And Coach Rod out to talk things over with Connor Hinton.
Really, only one hard hit ball that I can remember on the Waller side, and that was that double down the line in left. I mean, you've had a couple. You had an infield bunt single. You had a little flare single, that one was, and you've had a ton of walks. But really, they haven't been hurt by, you know, the Longhorns haven't been hurt by big hits. They've been hurt by walks and bunts and little flares.
And Connor Hinton is relieved. We'll take a break here. When we come back, we'll update you on the new Longhorns pitcher. You're listening to Live Longhorns Varsity Baseball on GRHS iRadio.
Live George Ranch High School Athletics on GRHS iRadio is brought to you all season long by the generosity and support of the following GRHS Athletic Booster Club sponsors. Our GRHS Mo Black ABC sponsors are the Broughton Investment Firm, Greg Harris Insurance, and Mission Digital. The George Ranch High School Athletic Booster Club Diamond sponsors are Audra O'Neill Team Realtors, Christina's Tax Services, Clark Condon Landscape Architectures, Caldwell Bankers, Shaner, Customized Pest Life, Garrett and Boyce, NRL Mortgage, Rifle, Beth Wolf Real Estate, Memorial Hermann Hospitals, Think Neurology, and Tritus Wealth Management. A hearty thank you to our GRHS Athletic Booster Club sponsors who support Live Longhorn Athletics on GRHS iRadio.
Back at the ballpark, Logan Watson on the mound for George Ranch, big right-hander, finishing up his warm-up tosses. He comes in relief of Connor Hinton.
Yeah, and with this pitching change, I think we've all but guaranteed that this is probably going to be the last inning. So whatever the Longhorns give up here, they're already down 5-3. Whatever they give up, they're going to only have one more at-bat to play with to try and play catch-up. So Logan Watson has been given the unenviable task of trying to limit any further damage here.
First pitch at 4:06. It's now 5:51, so 15 minutes left, and see what happens at the conclusion of the inning. And then the Longhorns, we'll see what they can do with the sticks. Waller leads 5-3, scoring three runs in the top of the fourth and going for more. Brock Thorndale at the plate, 1-for-2.
And again, the infield pulled in here, and you feel like constantly in this game the Longhorns have had their infield pulled in, and whenever you do that, you increase the batting average of these guys, because any little looper, any little flare is going to find, dirt. It's going to find a way to drop because you're not playing your normal depth. But they've really had no choice because there's just been so many walks and so much traffic on the bases. Again, they've been trying to play in and limit the damage.
First pitch by Logan Watson is outside, 1-0 to Thorndale. Next pitch on the way to the plate. Breaking ball stays up, 2-0.
You've got an empty base. You've got first base open. Walk, not the end of the world. It would certainly at least set up the force at home. What you don't want to give in to the hitter on a 2-0 pitch or on a 3-0 or 3-1 pitch. And then all three.
Still, umbrella still open on the Waller side of the stand, so it might be a little bit of precip coming down. 2-0 pitch. This one popped out to center field. Ryan Barton on his horse, and it's well over his head. One run scores. Second one coming in to score on the two-run double by Brock Thorndale.
Yeah, and that's what I was worried about, right? A 2-0 pitch, he got a fastball center cut. He did not miss it, lined it to center field. Barton, as a lot of center fielders do, are playing fairly shallow. And like you said, he was on his horse, full gallop, racing back, and he could not catch up with it. It three-hopped the fence right by the 400 marker, and all of a sudden it's 7-3.
It didn't look like that big of a hit when it left his bat. I thought Ryan would catch up with it, but it just carried and well over his head.
Yep. So now the Longhorns are chasing four, and they're still not out of the inning. Runner in scoring position, still only one out.
Watson checks second, comes to the plate. Well outside, good backhanded stop by Braswell. Brian Chabot, the catcher, 0-for-2, struck out twice against two different pitchers. See if he can continue that with Logan Watson. Watson comes to the plate, and that's over the batter's shoulders and all the way to the screen, 2-0.
It's not been the prettiest of the game of games for the Longhorns, Tom. That's just a lot of ugliness, a lot of walks, some wild pitches. They had that three-run lead early, and then even when it was 3-1, 3-2, and they still had the lead, I know I made the comment of it doesn't feel like a game that they're winning. And it finally caught up to them, especially here in this inning, as the Bulldogs have put up a five spot, and they're still hitting.
Yeah, it's 7-3, Waller.
That's another one.
Into the gap in left center field, fielded out there by Trey Akins. And another run comes in.
Yeah, it has just been a complete turnaround. It has gone from 3-0 Horns to 8-3 Waller, as they've put up eight runs over the last inning and a third. And it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And now Logan Watson just has to find a way to get a couple of outs, get out of this half inning, and give the Longhorns a chance with the bats.
Jeter Dawson at the plate. 0-for-1 with a walk. That one skips in. Braswell keeps it from going back to the screen, but it heads over towards the Longhorn dugout, and the runner takes second base.
And his pitchers have not done Jack Braswell any favors this game. He has dealt with a lot of balls that have skipped into him.
One on, one out. The 1-0 pitch to the plate swung on and missed. 1-1. The out came all the way back 6 hitters ago, or 6 runners ago, we should say, when Moreland threw to the plate and snuffed out the lead runner on a 5-2 put out. Here's Watson's 1-1 pitch. High and away, 2-1. Watson looks at second, comes to the plate, stays just a bit outside, 3-1. Pitch on the way from Watson. That stays outside as well, and now walks Dawson. Will head to the top of the order, and Brady Went.
Yeah, that was a close pitch. I thought that caught a little bit of the outside corner. Didn't get the call. And this is turning into a very, very long inning.
Went is the 10th batter to head to the plate against the Longhorn pitchers, starting with Connor Hinton and now Logan Watson.
Let's go, Longhorn!
There you go, Mama.
Good job, Mama.
There you go.
One young fan hasn't given up hope, Tom.
No, I heard her. Just hanging in there.
Hanging in there.
Coach Rod is going out and saying, look, do not disappoint that little girl down below. Let's get our things going. And part of the message is, hand me the ball, Logan Watson. He's going to make a pitching change. We'll take a break here. When we come back, we'll have the new Longhorn pitcher. You're listening to Live Longhorns Varsity Baseball on GRHS iRadio.
Be in the know by subscribing to the Fort Bend Herald, Fort Bend's oldest newspaper since 1892. Covering news, sports, and the community like no other paper around, the Fort Bend Herald is your primary source for information about Fort Bend County. To subscribe to the paper, go to fbherald.com, click on subscribe, and the paper will be delivered right to your door for as little as $9 a month. And if you subscribe to the paper, you'll have instant access to the online edition at no additional cost. You can also subscribe by phone by calling 281-342-4474. For complete coverage of Fort Bend County, it's the Fort Bend Herald, Fort Bend's oldest newspaper since 1892. That's the Fort Bend Herald.
Hello, fans. I'm Brett Dolan from Root Sports and ESPN3, and I listen to GRHS iRadio.
All right. Thank you, Brett Dolan. Back at the ballpark, Longhorns with a new pitcher out on the mound. Waller has erupted for 6 runs in the top of the fourth. They go with the 2 they had in the top of the third, now lead 8-3.
That might be Joe Louis Hernandez out there on the mound. Is that
trying to catch the number.
If it's 19, then it's Kirby Orth.
Yeah.
It's a lefty.
Yeah, it looks like 19.
Yeah, so that may be Kirby Orth out there. And that is the, fourth pitcher for the Longhorns, correct, Tom?
Correct.
Just desperately trying to find someone who can put out this fire and end this top of the fourth inning, which has seemed to go on for about 45 minutes.
Fourth pitcher for the game, third in this inning. Connor Hinton started this inning, relieved by Logan Watson. Now Kirby Orth takes over. He'll face the leadoff hitter, Brady Wendt. Officially 0 for 1. He's walked twice, came around to score. First pitch by Orth. Low and away, ball one. One-oh pitch by Orth. This one is bunted up, and Braswell out from behind the plate and puts a squeeze on that one. And that is out number two in the fourth. I'll add the word finally in there.
Finally out number two. One more out to get out of this inning.
Davis Rivers will face Kirby Orth. Rivers was hit last time up. First pitch is a good one, called strike. Julian Munoz is here. He'll join Jason Ford for the call on the 6:30 game. We'll be back on the air about 6:25. Waller won the first game, beat Katie Taylor 10-7, winning this game 8-3 on a tough top of the fourth for the Longhorns, giving up six runs. There's another called strike for Orth to Davis Rivers. Longhorns will get one more shot at it in the bottom of the fourth as these games are timed out after 2 hours. Pitch on the way, called third strike. And Kirby Orth comes in, gets a pop-up and a strikeout. And that finally, here's the word finally again,
finally
ends that top of the fourth inning. In the inning, six runs on one, two, three hits, one, two, three walks, and a hit batsman. All of that translates into an 8-3 lead with the Longhorns coming up in the bottom of the fourth. You're listening to Live Longhorns Varsity Baseball on GRHS iRadio.
Live George Ranch High School Athletics on GRHS iRadio is brought to you all season long by the generosity and support of the following GRHS Athletic Booster Club sponsors. Our GRHS Maroon and Black ABC sponsors are the Broughton Investment Firm, Greg Harris Insurance, and Mission Digital. The George Ranch High School Athletic Booster Club Diamond sponsors are Audra O'Neill Team Realtors, Christina's Tax Services, Clark Condon Landscape Architectures, Caldwell Banker Shane Light Realtor, Customized Pest and Wildlife, Garrett and Boyd Orthodontics, NRL Mortgage, Kelly Rifle, Beth Wolf Real Estate, Memorial Hermann Hospitals, Think Neurology, and Tritus Wealth Management. A hearty thank you to all of our GRHS Athletic Booster Club sponsors who support Live Longhorn Athletics on GRHS iRadio.
Bottom of the fourth inning, Longhorns need five to tie. They're down 8-3. Zach Moreland, Brady Duquet, and the top of the order, Ryan Barton. Up to the plate in the bottom of the fourth. First pitch is is away, ball one. Moreland walked and was stranded in the first. 1-0 pitch. It's low and away, 2-0. Cade Kammerer on the mound for the Waller Bulldogs. Pitch. And he went around 2-1. Moreland went through some gymnastics on that one. No, I don't want to swing. Yeah, I want to swing. No, I don't. Tried to hold up. This one is hit to the second baseman and puts a squeeze on it. Clayton Freshcorn there. One out in the bottom of the fourth.
Yeah, and Cameron's done a great job of throwing strikes since he's come into the game, and that's really been the difference. You know, Longhorn pitchers, no matter who we put out there, just struggling to find the strike zone. Other than that one little stint that Hinton had in the third. And for the most part, Cameron has been throwing nothing but strikes.
This one also popped up to the second baseman, also taken there, so the Longhorns are down to their last hitter.
You look at the difference in efficiency. I mean, you think back to that top of the inning and how long it took, and here we are. We're probably 2 minutes in, and there's already two outs.
And we are past the two-hour mark, so certainly this will be it, regardless of what happens in the bottom of the fourth. Ryan Barton at the plate. He's 0 for 2. First pitch called strike. Grounded to short, flew out to center field. One off the plate, 1-1. Pitch on the way. Hit out to center field. Keller Rivers puts that one away.
No, it dropped. It dropped in front of him. Yeah.
Wow.
We got a base runner, Tom.
Yay.
I know it seems like they've been catching everything, but we got a base runner. We're not dead yet. Runner on first. Grant Reynolds up. If Grant Reynolds can find a way to get on, we'll have 3, 4, and 5 due up. You never know, Tom. You just never know.
Going to blame that one on the dirty windows again. Sorry.
Gray sky, dirty windows.
Yeah. You know, so. Bad eyes, you know, all of that. Ball one to Grant Reynolds.
I would like to see Grant Reynolds get on base again just because I really would like to see that kid get going. He's a spark plug at the top or near the top of the lineup for the Horns when he's going well.
Inside and heading down to second is Ryan Barton as the ball gets away from Chabon.
You know, when you're down 5 runs with 2 outs, it's just it's one at-bat at a time, right? You just want to keep the line moving. You're not going to tie it up. You're not going to hit a 5-run homer with one man on base. You just want to keep the line moving.
That one gets away from the catcher, and over to third goes Ryan Barton.
Yeah, nice pick set by the home plate umpire there, too. Kept the catcher from going after it for a little while. We might have thought about taking home there.
First two batters here in the bottom of the fourth popped up to the second baseman. And a single by Ryan Barton and a 3-0 count to Grant Reynolds. Barton all the way around to third on a couple pass balls.
That's ball four.
It is.
And all of a sudden, Blake Behealer up. He's been swinging a hot bat early in the season. You've got two men on. Again, you know, you can't tie it with one swing. We're down 5, but you can certainly keep them and the next guy.
Blake walked and scored in the first, struck out in the second. First pitch stays up, ball one. 1-0 pitch.
And how did that not hit him?
I don't know. And
he threw that ball. it went through Blake Behiler.
Well, I think it did.
No, he's walking over.
Yeah.
Okay. That had to hit him. I mean, like I said, it defies the laws of physics if it didn't hit him. So
bases loaded. Lane Walton due up.
And that's going to get a visit from the Waller coach, who's like, hey, we had two outs and nobody on, and all of a sudden you can't throw a strike, kid. You're killing me, you know. And that's baseball. And look, you know, it's 8-3, but the bases are loaded, and you've got 4, 5, and 6 due up. So, you know, certain stranger things have happened. It starts with throwing strikes. And again, that's what he had done, Cameron, you know, since he's been in the game. And then all of a sudden, with two outs in the final inning, he's just.
Blake Behiler, a space. We've seen that several times tonight, especially from Longhorn pitchers, where the inning's off really well and they got a lot of command and things fall apart. Longhorns have Walton at the plate, bases loaded, two outs, bottom of the fourth, first pitch called strike. Kammerer is trying to shut things down for the Longhorns and walk away with an 8-3 win. Next pitch.
It's up and away.
Up and away. 1-1.
If Lane could find a way to put one in a gap here, all of a sudden this is going to get a little bit interesting.
1-1 pitch to the plate. Swung on and missed. A little bit of a wrinkle at the end of that one, and he swung through it. One-two pitch to the plate. And fouled away. Still 1-2.
Let's go, Lane.
Pitch on the way. That stays up. 2-2. Barton on third, Grant Reynolds on second, Blake Behiler made it to first. Now Jonas Gonzalez is there running for him. 2-2 pitch on the way to the plate. Hit down at first, takes a bad hop over the first baseman's head. One run scores, two runs score, and the other runner held up. Gonzalez held up at third on the bad hop single by Lane Walton.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, it's a little more interesting, right? I mean, it's bad hop, jumps right over the first baseman, gets down the line, scores two. And now, all of a sudden, the tying run is at the plate.
Let's go, Jack.
In the person of Jack Braswell.
So, Braswell's got two men in scoring position, 8-5, still two outs.
Hit down to third. Jeter Dawson across the diamond and retires Braswell and the Longhorns in this game number two in the LCISD tournament. It is final score, second win of the afternoon and early evening for the Waller Bulldogs. They win this one 8-5, winning against Katie Taylor 10-7. Take a break, and then Jason and I will wrap this one up from George Ranch. You're listening to live Longhorns Varsity Baseball on GRHS iRadio.
Live George Ranch High School Athletics on GRHSI Radio is brought to you all season long by the generosity and support of the following GRHS Athletic Booster Club sponsors. Our GRHS Maroon and Black ABC sponsors are the Broughton Investment Firm, Greg Harris Insurance, and Mission Digital.
The George Ranch High School Athletic Booster Club Diamond sponsors are Audra O'Neill, Team Realtors, Christina's Tax Services, Clark Condon Landscape Architectures, Coldwell Banker, Shane Light Realtor, Customized Pest and Wildlife, Garrett and Boyd Orthodontics, NRL Mortgage, Kelly Rifle, Beth Wolf Real Estate, Memorial Hermann Hospitals, Think Neurology, and Tritus Wealth Management. A hearty thank you to all of our GRHS Athletic Booster Club sponsors who support Live Longhorns Athletics on GRHS iRadio. Let's go back out to the Tom Tarando, Julian Munoz, and the rest of the GRHS Radio crew for School City Baseball.
Playing the part of Julian Munoz, Jason Ford. Let's wrap this one up, Jason.
Yeah, it's, I mean, just kind of an ugly game, right? I mean, if you're going to have an ugly game, get it out of the way during one of these sort of preseason tournaments. So, they, you know, Longhorns got off to a good start, took a three-run lead in the first inning, but you could just kind of feel it slipping away because they just kept getting themselves into trouble with walks and hit batsmen and things like that. And inevitably in the game of baseball, if you do that enough, you're going to get burned. And it happened in the third and fourth innings. They gave up eight runs, and it turned around. It made a little noise in the bottom of the fourth inning and almost got back into it, actually got the tying run to the plate, but then just kind of ran out of gas. So, you know what? You learn from it. You move on to the next one.
All right, final score again. Waller Bulldogs 8 and the George Ranch Longhorns 5. We'll be back with game number 3 in the tournament at about 6:35 or so. 6:40 first pitch we anticipate. And Jason Ford and Julian Munoz on the call. Final score again, Longhorns drop an 8-5 decision to the Waller Bulldogs.